Well, this is wonderful to see all of you here. You probably are here. Everybody must know that we're going to do an ordination ceremony in a little while. You know that, right? So, that's pretty great. And that's why I'm not going to talk too long, so that we can have plenty of time to prepare for that ceremony and kind of figure out how to do it before we do it. But I do want to say a few things about the ceremony. And about the practice of being a priest. First, I think everybody knows that Tim is going to be ordained today. And Tim and I first met, I think, maybe I forgot, but I think we met at Tassajara in 2019. Did we meet before then?
We did.
We did, okay. I did forget. I have a bad memory. I don't remember my own relatives, you know. So anyway, we met sometime or other, but we did practice together in 2019 when Kathy and I were leading practice period at Tassajara, and you were the work leader. Is that right? I didn't remember that, yeah. And we've been in touch ever since about this question of ordination, and Tim's life has developed and changed quite a bit since that practice period. And now his life is going to change even more today and beyond as he gets ready to be a father, which is a pretty big and a joyful change that will turn his life completely upside down, and he will no longer know who he is or what's going on. So probably a lot of you know Tim, and anybody who knows Tim knows that he is a person of integrity, an unusually calm person, a very modest person. It's wonderful that there is no particular personality that a priest is supposed to have. And I have known plenty of quirky, weird Zen priests. But it would be nice, actually, if all Zen priests had the qualities that Tim has. They don't. All of them have those qualities. We're conducting the ceremony here at Kanando because Tim lives nearby and practices here. But not only because of that, also we're doing it here because to do the ceremony here honors the Kanando Sangha and my dear Dharma brother and friend Kato Leske, whom I have known with a deep respect for many, many decades. Our collective lineage, the Suzuki Roshi Dharma family, somehow wonderfully manages to preserve through all these different people and all these different personalities the flavor of Suzuki Roshi's understanding. And Les was a direct disciple of Suzuki Roshi and knew him well personally, was ordained by him. And that makes Les a very special Dharma pioneer. Like my own teacher, Sogyen Roshi, Les's way of Zen expresses so directly the simplicity, the clarity, and the kindness of our original teacher. And that's why I love Les so much. An ordination ceremony is a very powerful thing. It marks a powerful karmic moment. And that moment is not just for the person being ordained. It's a moment of strength and renewal for the whole Sangha. And John and Kathy and I and others have been, others in our local Dharma family, have been practicing with Kanon Do for a few years now, since Les asked us, would we begin to come down and help in whatever way we could. So we've been doing this now for some years. I don't really know how many. But it's been really a joy for us to see, little by little, the Dharma strength in this community, and almost, you could say, in the floorboards and the walls and the beams of this building. Strength that has been nurtured by Les and all of you for such a long time. And a strength that has been deepening. So today's ceremony honors and reflects that strength, and I hope will add something to it. And it also strengthens the connection between our sanghas, between the Kanon Do Sangha and the Everyday Zen Sangha. A connection that I hope will continue long after Les and I are gone. Our way of ordaining priests and being priests is a little weird. You know, it's not like in other traditions, not because we set ourselves apart, but because those are the circumstances in which we live. So in other traditions, when you ordain as a priest, you're kind of entering a profession or a job or a role. But for us, ordaining as a priest really is simply committing to being a human being in the fullest sense of what that means. And I think this was Suzuki Roshi's fundamental teaching. He came here and saw all these people who wanted to practice. Famously, he once said, well, you're not exactly priests, but you're not lay people either, because you really want to practice fully. So in a way, you know, our practice is only for priests. We're all priests. In other words, we all aspire to be bodhisattvas who go beyond ourselves to care for and love one another. That's not something that only special people do. Everybody does this. Everybody tries their best to do this, whether they formally ordain as a priest or not. Because I think we all know that's what a human being is supposed to be. All of us want to be good and do good and to avoid harm. None of us want to be selfish, even though so many of us so often are. So a priest isn't a special person with special commitments or special knowledge or special privileges. A priest is just a human being like all human beings. The only difference is that a priest wears the okesa, Buddha's robe, and as we will see today, publicly and explicitly vows to practice Buddha's way through the ritual of Shukkei Tokudo. There are three main practices that a priest does. The first practice is to see everyone as Buddha. That is, not to look at others as others, either allies or adversaries, or as people to be dealt with one way or the other, Instead, to only see Buddhas and to treat everyone accordingly. That's the first practice of Zen priests. The second practice is to be humble. It's a very specific practice to be aware of your own shortcomings and not to be aware of whatever virtues you may have. If you do have any virtues, that's for other people. They can appreciate it, they can see it, but you pay no attention to it. You only pay attention to your shortcomings. You study them, you appreciate them, and you learn from them. And the third practice, very simply, is just to try to help in any way that you can. No matter what the situation is, there is always some way to help. So these are the three practices of a Zen Buddhist priest, but actually they're practices for everyone, don't you think? Everybody should do these practices. And the only difference, as I said, is that to practice as a Zen Buddhist priest is to wear the okesa. That's the only difference. And so in the ceremony today, Tim will receive the okesa that he has sewn. And after he receives it, he will wear it and care for it for the rest of his life. I don't even have to say, because it goes without saying, that a priest, like everyone else, follows precepts carefully and takes care of zazen. We don't even need to mention those things. Dongshan was once asked, "What's the worst thing in the world?" And he answered, "The worst thing is to wear this robe and not understand the great matter." This is a saying that I took very, very much to heart after I was first ordained. And it was very painful, really painful. It is the worst thing. And I felt like a horrible failure as a priest. And as time went by, I realized that I was right. I was actually a flop as a priest. I got used to it. But then later on, still, I realized that it wasn't just me. All priests are failures. That's why it's so easy for them to practice humility. To be a priest is to become a Buddha. To be a human being is to become a Buddha. But somehow, although you already are a Buddha, you fail at being a Buddha because you're just too human. And in our way of being a priest, it's even worse. Because I get to fail not only at being a priest, I also get to fail as a husband, a father, a grandfather, and in my case, I even have the extra opportunity to fail at being a poet. Oh my God. So, it's pretty much a total disaster. But, in our practice, failure is actually a good thing. The trick is not to take it too much to heart and have the fantastical idea that it could be otherwise. And of course, never, ever stop trying to do your best. So in the ceremony that'll happen in a little while, Tim's going to enter the zendo more or less without his clothes on. He'll be like a new baby. And then he'll receive his clothes and he'll put them on. He'll receive Buddha's clothing and Buddha's bowls. And then, in front of everybody, we're going to ask him one final time. Actually, we'll give him three chances to affirm that he is really, really willing to give up all his attachments. And if he says yes three times, we'll shave off the last hair that remains on his head. And then he will receive the lifeblood that runs through the veins of all the Buddhas and that animates all the Buddhas, the 16 Bodhisattva precepts. And finally, he will receive his birth certificate, his new lineage. This ceremony is called Shukei Tokudo, which translates as leaving home, entering the way. We also have a ceremony, a similar ceremony, quite similar for lay practitioners, and that one is called Zaikei Tokudo, which means staying at home, entering the way. Both cases, the precepts are exactly the same. So Tim has already received these precepts as a lay person, and he will receive the same precepts again today at a new level of seriousness. In fact, I think the best way to understand our practice is to see it as nothing but continuously receiving the precepts again and again and again throughout a lifetime at ever more serious levels of depth until the end. As you will see, the form of the ceremony is very austere and exacting, and it enacts home leaving, the giving up of all entanglements. But since, as you know, in our tradition, uniquely in the Buddhist world, we can marry and live in the world as anybody else does. Therefore, we understand giving up entanglements in a different way. We practice giving up all entanglements within entanglements. And our practice of loving and serving all sentient beings is also the practice of loving and serving our family, our spouse, our children, our parents, our communities, through those relationships and beyond them to serve all beings. Leaving home means we leave the home of our identity and our desire and our obligation. Leaving that home, we enter the vastness of what it truly is to be human, using our limited identities and obligations as the entry point to that vastness. So in a way, we can say that the true meaning of leaving home is to return home, to return to our truest home. So those are the things I wanted to say to you today about our ceremony. And this is my very unusual Robin style talk. Robin gives 20-minute Dharma talks. So this is my Robin Dharma talk. Usually I rattle on for quite a while, as you may know, but not today. So let's stop here. And if you don't mind, not have questions so that we can keep ourselves quiet. Not that you can't talk, but let's keep in our hearts from now on until our ceremony is over, let's keep the ceremony in our bellies and in our hearts. So you can talk, of course, but let's talk in a quieter way than maybe you ordinarily would, and have part of our attention toward the ceremony that we're going to be doing soon. The rest of us will be planning and figuring out how to do the ceremony. Thank you very much for being here today to support Tim and for listening to my talk. And we have a chant we'll do at the end. Yes?